always a father who loves you. Amen. And he is there all the time. And we want to talk about him just a little in celebration of the season. Because the scripture says that he would never leave you nor forsake you. He says he is our Father in who art in heaven, as Jesus said. Amen. And he said we are to hallow his name. Amen. So we thank God for that. But what we're going to do before we get too wrapped up here, let's go ahead and have a look at a couple of passages. And I have a thought to share with you. And we're going to take a look in the book of Isaiah from the Old Testament. And we're going to read just four verses in Isaiah 51. So you may want to locate Isaiah 51 and put a bookmark there. And then I'm going to ask you to look at some more verses from John 17. Those of you who were here on last week, you know, we talked out of John 17 about a few things. So what I'm doing today, we're going to back up a few verses today in John 17. Now, many have said that John 17 should be the Lord's Prayer, because this is Jesus who is praying to God the Father in John 17. And the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer is always the Our Father which art in heaven. That prayer, but that was when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, and that we call the model prayer. It's a model that gives us information about what the contents of prayer should be. Amen. And it gives you a framework to connect prayer to. Amen. So when you want to know how to pray, always exalt God first. That's what Jesus said there. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, hallow his name. Thy kingdom come. You're supposed to be a kingdom-minded person. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, that's a part of provision, our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, that's one of our biggest problems, but deliver us from evil. Why? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So we pray that prayer, and we call that the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer. And so we're going to talk today also from the New Testament, as we mentioned, John 17, the first 11 verses. And that'll get us like right up to where we were last week in our study. Amen. So we're going to ask you all to locate and bookmark John 17. And we're going to start at verse 1 when we read there. And we're going to go ahead and initiate our reading with Isaiah 51. So I'd like to ask you to stand in the sanctuary, and if you have a Bible there or one of our handouts, you may read along with us as we read, starting in verse number 1 of Isaiah 51. Let me know when you have it. You may have it in your phone. I forget about the phones and the iPads and all the electronic devices. That's fine if you use those. Amen. Because I use mine too. I got it in big giant print so I can easily read it. Amen. And that's a good advantage of that type of technology. Amen. So hopefully you do have a King James translation there, if you do. So let's read, starting at Isaiah 51 and 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah who that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he shall comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving, and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. Amen. That's the old covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy and inerrant word. And now let us read from John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes unto heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now that they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given them. Have known from thee. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine. I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep has given me that they may be one as we are. Amen. And may God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated in the sanctuary. Amen. I actually love this passage. I know y'all going to say, Pastor, you say that about every passage you read. I'm sorry, I'm guilty. I am guilty. I do love them all. Amen. And they all do have a particular significance to me. But before we discuss that, let's just have a word of prayer. Lord God, we bless you today. Father, we praise you. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for your spirit. Lord God, we thank you for your provision. Some of us, our fathers are still here on this side, others that have come on to be with you. Father, some of us are unaware of the status of where our father is, but Father, we thank you that we know exactly where you are and that you know exactly where we are. And in spite of how our situation may have been, Lord God, you have blessed us. You have secured us. You have supplied our very and every need. Lord God, and so we thank you today for being God all by yourself, and we ask that you give special grace to the listeners today. Lord God, those you said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. Help us today, Lord God, to hear a word from on high. Thank you that we are able to call you Father, Lord. You have given us the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, oh Lord, that says we can call you Abba, which is Father. And so, Father, we bless you today. Thank you for that status, oh God. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your word. We ask you to bless every ear, every mind, and every heart that they might receive from you today. You are our Father, and what a privilege it is that you can be called Father by us, Lord God. We bless you today. We give you praise. We ask you to inhabit the praise of your people. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. And the church say it together. Amen, amen, amen. We thank God for his word. And I want to talk just for a few moments today about the privilege of calling God Father. Amen, that is a high honor that us, people like me, I'm going to use me for an example. I'm not going to get in your backyard. People like me who aren't perfect is able to be connected to the Most High God in such a way that I can call him Father. What a privilege. I didn't know what to really say about this title. I said, I'm just going to talk about the privilege. I was thinking about how great it is to have the privilege to call the creator of all things my Father. You know what? It's not just exclusively for me. It's for you. It's for everybody on earth. It is God's desire that he be acknowledged as your Father. Amen. We have people today who are kind of twisted with that. They say, well, why can't we call him mother or whatever? Because he said he is our father. So we need to go by what he said. A lot of people want to twist you off the path of what God said. And that's the very problem. That's where the devil began, is twisting up the very first human parents in what God said. And so you and I need to be fixed on what God has said. Because God has said to the whole world that the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So in other words, when everything you see in the creation has been rolled up like a scroll, there is a verse in the scripture that talks about that in Revelation. John said he was watching and he saw the whole creation roll up like a scroll, and it was no more. It went out the way and there was no more sea. Everything that you call normal today rolled up and vanished. And then he said, and I saw the souls of the dead, both great and small, standing before the throne of God. That's in Revelation. You can read about it if you like toward the end of the book. And then he said, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God as a bride adorned for her husband. So that's what Jesus meant when he said the heavens and the earth shall pass away. There's a day when heaven and earth is scheduled to be passed away. It's going to be no more. He said, then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Now, the interesting thing about that passage in Revelation is that it tells us that that he saw the souls of the dead, both small and great, come before the throne of God. So that means souls are made to be eternal. The heavens and the earth are not necessarily. He said they shall pass away. See that? So who we are is eternal beings living in a perishable world. The world is destined for perishing. Peter said it will not be destroyed with water, but the next time is being reserved for fire against the judgment of the great day. And so basically that's what the scriptures teach. So we want to not make the mistake that the devil introduced in making us doubt what God said. That's a very important premise, and I want you to think about it. So if God says he wants to be our father, then we want to address him as father. He is our father. And what a privilege it is that human, mere mortal human beings are able to call on the Most High God under this condition. And we're going to make that plain to you and call him father. Now, as we look here in Isaiah 51, I want you to notice that God has always had a group of people on the earth that were separated unto him at all times in the history of the world. And so Isaiah here addresses the situation as he speaks to Israel, the covenant people. And he says here in Isaiah 51, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. That's a way of speaking of the covenant people who are pursuing righteousness. How do I be right in the sight of God? Not so much in the sight of men necessarily, but what does God require for me to be right? He says, ye that seek the Lord. You see that? That's the group of people he's talking about, those who seek the Lord. They want to be right with God. Hearken unto me, the writer says. Listen, in other words, that you follow after righteousness. You're pursuing a right relationship with the Most High God. He says, look unto the rock, whence ye are hewn. Now, that would be more modernly said, look at the rock from which you were taken and to the pit from which you were dug out. In other words, God took a rock out for a particular purpose. And then we get the answer here in verse 2. Look unto Abraham, your father. Wow, now that kind of just cements that whole idea, that first verse, together. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. The Bible says people who by faith embrace the truthfulness of God. People who by faith embrace the word of God. People who by faith possess the salvation of God. Look unto Abraham, your father, notice this, and to Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. So that's probably a good commentary on the entire first few chapters in the book of Genesis. Because we find out that Abraham was called in Genesis chapter 12. God called him out from among the rest of the people. He dwelt at that time in Ur of the Chaldees. And God said, get thee out of thy country and out of thy father's house and away from thy kindred and come into a land that I will show thee and I will bless thee and make thy name great. He said, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless him that blesseth you and curse him that curseth you. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We call that the Abrahamic covenant. God made a covenant or a promise to Abraham. And he was, of course, at that time called Abram, which meant the father of a nation and the father of many. And then he later on called him Abraham, which means the father of a multitude. And he called him when he had no descendants. He was 75 years old, the record tells us. And God called him at the age of 75. That lets you know you're never too old to get saved. He can call you at 75 and you can begin to walk with him and have the privilege of calling God your father. So here he uses Abraham as the example, and Sarah, whose womb was barren. She had no children by that time. She was married to Abraham, for those of you who may or may not know what it says there in Genesis. And she had no children. That's why he says, I called him alone. He had no descendants, and I blessed him. That means I spoke well of him. That's what that word bless means. When God speaks well of you, amen, he speaks for your benefit. He speaks good things into your life. That's blessing. And it's a manner of God speaking over his people. Now notice this. He said, look to Abraham. You want to know what it means to be righteous? You want to know what it means to have the privilege to call me your father? Look unto Abraham and Sarah that bear you. For I called him alone and blessed him. Notice this phrase, and increased him. Now that's powerful, because Abraham had no descendants when he was called. He was the father of no one. But he called him the father of a multitude. And then he made it so. God caused Abraham to reproduce, and he said that your seed shall be as the sand of the seashore and as the stars of heaven, innumerable. That's awesome to me that he could call someone who had no kids. And then he could at that point tell you, I'm going to bless you with more kids than you'll ever be able to count. That's awesome to me. And so Abraham, the Bible says in Genesis 15, verse 6, he believed God, and that was counted to him for righteousness. Do you know when you believe God today that it is accounted to you for righteousness? It's not a matter of anything more than you believe God. Trust God. When you believe him, then you can move on his word and do what he says. It shall be accounted to you for righteousness. Now, what that means is you have no righteousness in your account. You believe God. God puts you, he fills your account with righteousness. In fact, it's like he writes your name on his account, and you have access to his account when you trust in him. So you get the whole riches of God when you trust in God. You get adopted into his family to be his child, and he gets to be your father, and you get the privilege of calling him father. It has nothing to do with human works, although God will teach you what kind of works he wants you to do. And when you get to the place where you are his child, it's just like you try to teach your children. You want your children to do the right thing. There's no parent that's thinking right who wants their kids to do bad stuff, but you want your kids to do good stuff. You want them to be blessed in life. You want them to go through the world representing you. You don't want them to be a bad witness or an example of who you are. And so basically God is the same way. That's why I think he uses that metaphor of righteousness and being your father, because that's something that we all understand. God wants the best for you. He wants the very best for every one of his children. And he said he was alone when I called him, but I blessed him and I increased him. Now, why did God do it? You know why he did? Because he told him, I'm going to make your name great. And we're still talking about his name today. The name of Abraham is a famous name, second only to the name of Jesus, perhaps. And we're going to talk about that. But think about that. He's been in the world years, so many years ago, thousands of years ago, and we're still talking about Abraham today. So Isaiah, and he writes here in verse 3, Isaiah 51 and 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. Zion got to be the family of the children of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They became a great nation that is still in the world today, known as Israel. That which was the name that God changed Jacob's name to when he wrestled with him. He called him Israel. He multiplied his seed and made them into a great number of people that still exist in the world today. In fact, Israel is in the center of all the controversy on the world stage today. They will continue to be in the center of all the controversy on the world stage until the last day. See, because God will always keep his promise. That's another story for another day. But what I want you to see here, it says the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden. That's the very garden that he made in the book of Genesis to place man in. And her deserts like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving in the voice a melody. Let me tell you, that's not the description of present day Israel. There's a lot of controversy. There's turmoil. There's grief. There's tension and pressure in Israel right now this morning as I speak. But God says, I'm going to restore Israel only because I promised Abraham. That's why he says in this whole beginning of this verse, look to Abraham. Look back and realize that I'm going to keep the promise that I made. And that's one thing about God being called your father, is that he will keep the promises that he has made. He will do everything for you that he has promised that he will do. And just moving on, notice what he says here. Hearken unto me. That's the word listen. We could say listen carefully is what hearken means. Unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I shall, he says, and I will make my judgment for to rest for a light of the people. God wants to illuminate that which is right in your life and mine. That's what it means to be a father, is that we illuminate the things that are right and we cater to that which is correct in a person's life to bring them up and nurture them in the things of God. So biologically speaking, this is what I want to talk with you about. All of humanity share in the reality of being begotten. That's how you get here. By a father, a human father, you know, who passes on to each of us his sinful blood. The blood of Adam is in everybody's veins, along with the implications of being of a fallen nature. This is what we inherit from our earthly father. And these fathers, however they are, deserve our thanks just for the fact that they have given us life. And therefore, the ability to not only have part in human earthly affairs, but also in impacting the world by being adopted into the family of the true God. That's what your earthly father has done for you. He allowed you to exist in the present so that you can also not only impact the world, but also impact the world for the family of God, the true God, through his one and only begotten son, Jesus, that we can participate in giving him glory as we grow spiritually. So that's one thing I can say. If no matter what else my father did, he gave me life. He allowed me to exist in the world so that I can know the true God and be adopted into his family. See, even if I never seen him before, even if I didn't know him or he didn't do me right or anything I might say that might have been negative, most of us, many of us, that's not the case, but some of them it is. And so I just wanted to address that today. God has given you life however he did it. Thank God. Thank him for your dad. Thank him for your earthly father. Because of that, you can impact the world and you can also impact the kingdom of God. That's what God has blessed you with. And he did that through your mother and your father. Amen. So I thank God for it, no matter what. If I have dark memories from the past about my dad, I can still say he blessed me to be here. And so I'm here and I can give glory to God because God can now use me because I'm here. And so I'm not going to think anything negative. I'm just going to say, thank God, however my dad was. You know, fathers sometimes do have a bad rap. Sometimes they don't do what they should. And sometimes they're very good. So there's always that mix. But whatever the situation is, thank God that he allowed you to be born through your dad. And that's what we celebrate here today. In history, as God has always loved mankind, God has loved you no matter what anybody else did. You can know that right now. Whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, whatever you went through in the past, God loves you. Let me say this. He has loved you every second that you have existed. There's never been one second in which God did not love you, no matter what you went through. Sometimes we go through a lot of bad stuff. We have a lot of emotional scars and pain from some of the stuff we went through. But I want you to know through all of that, no matter what it was, the Most High God loves you. He always did, and he always will. He is the Father that fills in everything that lacked in my father. And he loves you so much. He loves you more than your father could even possibly love you, even if your father loved you a lot. Somebody wrote a song talking about love me like a rock. You remember that? Okay, that's pretty hard, I suppose. The Most High God loves you beyond that. He loves you so much that he said, if these don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. He loves you so much that he sent his own son, Jesus, to die for you. The world is configured around Jesus. He configured the world around Jesus to put attention on him, to highlight him, to make it difficult for you to ignore him. That's why it's 2017 years since Jesus was born. He wants to highlight that to every person. You know what? I don't care what people are saying anywhere on the planet. Show me your birth certificate. That's what I would say to him. What's that date on there? Oh, that's based on when Jesus was born, isn't it? Show me that contract you signed. What's that date on there? Oh, that's based on the day that Jesus was born, isn't it? Tell me about your leader, your spiritual leader, whoever it is. When was he born? Oh, that date, that's based on the time Jesus was born. Let's walk through the cemetery. What's out there? Tombstones with dates on it from which you were based on when Jesus was born. You know what the world is based on? When Jesus was born. Everywhere on the planet. I don't care if we're in Arabia or any other country. The clock is ticking seconds based on when Jesus was born. Think about that. That's the world time system around the globe. So God wants to make you know that I love you. I've loved you every second. The world is counting time and history is divided by the coming of my son into the world. And I made him that famous so it would be easy for you to believe in him. I love you. That's why I sent him in. And the time that he came, we call the first advent, was when he first came into the world. He came out of eternity into the world. That's what John 1:1 is about. In the beginning, God, it says, basically, I'm going to Genesis here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But then we can say, in the beginning was the Word. In John 1:1, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him there was not made anything that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the one being spoken of there. How do you know? Verse 14 in John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How did that happen? God the Father begot his son in the womb of a virgin. The Word became flesh. That word, what word? The one he promised that through the descendants of Abraham, I will save the world. And so basically that's how Jesus got to be so important. And all he requires of me and you is that we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead. Amen. The resurrection from the dead is the proof that Jesus Christ is the one who has authority and power over everything on earth. There's been some powerful people on earth, but none of them have been able to defeat the grave. In history past, the grave, if it takes a person in, if you have sinned, guess what? The grave has power to keep you. Now, Jesus died on the cross, and he was directing the death himself. They tried to crucify him. They did everything to him. He could have died of an infection after they spit on him and beat him and flogged him and all that stuff they did. That would have killed me or you. He could have died from bleeding to death on his way to the cross. He could have died from just the sheer agony and insults that were cast against him that day, but that didn't kill him. He could have died from a number of things that happened to him, being misjudged, stripped naked, and embarrassed. The Bible says that it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross, despising the shame. Think about that phrase. He despised the shame of the cross. It was so hideous, I don't know why the people around didn't despise it. Somebody should have just said, that's too much. Stop right now. Don't keep doing it. When they saw a man mutilated like that, marred beyond recognition, where you couldn't even tell who he was. Isaiah had predicted that he would be mutilated like that. He said, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. There's the sight. Have you ever seen a sight so horrible you just wanted to turn your head? That's what he said. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, afflicted by God. He said he must be under the punishment of God to be going through what he's going through. And yet he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was up on him. And with his stripes, we are healed. See that? And so Isaiah predicted that this would happen. Same one who wrote that text we just read. So what I want you to see is all of that was to show you, we had a message a couple of weeks ago, It called it's a thin line between love and hate. You can see the hatred of man being poured out on Jesus. And you can see the love of God being poured out on everyone else. He loved us so much that he allowed his own son to suffer that brutal beating that he took in that crucifixion, being the embarrassment and the shame of it, in order to give us eternal life. Whoever believes in him, the Bible says, will not perish. That means you won't ultimately perish, that the sentence of death won't be permanent for you. You won't suffer the second death. You'll only suffer the first death if you should happen to live that long, but he may come today. Jesus could come at any minute. That's the very next event on God's calendar. Whoever believes in him and believes that God has raised him from the dead shall be saved. Now, when you believe, that means I trust in him and him alone. I believe he has done everything necessary to cleanse my filthy soul and make me right before God. See, that's what the gospel is about. God so loved the world, John said, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He wants you to be saved, rescued from the power of death in the grave, rescued from Satan, rescued from the workings of the flesh, the war in our members, and bring us into captivity and bondage to sin. But notice Jesus' prayer here. We got to wrap this up. Time's getting away. Started talking about the cross, and it looks like time flies. But let's take a look here at John 17 and 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. Notice that. He said, Father, because he had come into the world just like me and you. That's what makes him different than any other prophets or anyone else. You know, he came from heaven through a virgin and became flesh. He was born by God, the Holy Spirit, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. So he took on the human flesh, but unlike our earthly father, he didn't receive the blood of Adam. He was born without sin. He was holy and unblameable because the blood came from God. Check out Acts 20, 28 if you want a reference for that. 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. This is an hour that had been coming from eternity because God was going to give his son to save the world. This was a special time. Paul put it this way. He said in Galatians 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, born under the law, to deliver us from the curse of the law. See, that's why Jesus came. And so when he says this, that these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, look at that. I love that word. The hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son might glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give, notice that word give, that's a gift, eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. You see that? This is the definition of eternal life, verse 3. And this is life eternal. You want to know what it is? Verse 3, make a note of it. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So eternal life is not about time. It's about a relationship between you and God. It's a relationship between you and God. It has nothing to do with seconds and all of that. Jesus came out of eternity in order to give you and me a relationship with God, that we might know him, the one who brought the message. Now, you know, last week we talked about fruition of the mission to heal the world's condition. And that's why Jesus came. It came to fruition. The Son of God was born. He came in the flesh. He came to bear the sins of many, whoever believes in him. And he said, this time has come now, Father, the time we plan. You know, he's talking like we had a conversation about this before. And he did. Back in eternity, before anything existed. And so he says, notice that I have glorified thee upon the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. See, he had a mission that he was on that he had to bring to fruition. Everything the prophets promised had to be done. And he says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Bring me back to your glory, Father, face to face with you, no longer in the limitations of a human body. See, but he came in the body in order to be the great high priest after the order of Melchizedek to fulfill the scriptures. See, we need a priest. We need somebody between us and the holiness of God all the time. He has to be a priest forever. He can't just be a priest momentarily because God is eternally holy. So he needed a priest that was eternally holy. So Jesus became flesh in order to take that place as the priest after the order of Melchizedek, to be an eternal bond between my sin and the ugliness of my sin and the holiness of God. See? And that's where he was there. He was in that position, not just my sin, but yours. If you believe in him, he covers you for all your sin. Notice what he says next. He says, manifest, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, they all belong to you, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. You knew that the disciples learned that Jesus was showing the power of God as he walked on the earth in the flesh. Now they have known all things, you see that I was doing were because of you. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. That's what it means to be saved. You believe Jesus came from God to execute and manifest what God promised that he would do. In verse 8, you might want to make a note of that. And I pray for them. I love this verse. And I pray not for the world, folks who are going to reject him, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. God is praying for you if you are a believer to trust him in all things. He wants you to have that proper relationship with God, which is called eternal life, because you love him and you trust him. And you believe that Jesus paid your bill entirely by himself. You can't add anything to it. All you can do is accept it. When you accept it, you have it. If you deny it, you don't. It's very simple. And Jesus is praying for you. He says, I pray not for the people who don't believe me, but for the ones who do. And all are mine, he says, and thine or mine, all that are mine are thine, and all and thine are mine. In other words, whoever God the Father owns, I own. See that? And I am glorified in them. Jesus is glorified in us because he took on our humanity in order to fulfill the promises of God. Notice this last verse, and we'll cut to the chase here. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. He says, I'm getting ready to check out, Father, but I'm going to leave them here in the world. Who is that? Believers who have believed in me. And I come to thee. Notice this term, Holy Father. The only time it's found in Holy Writ in the scripture. And it's Jesus the Son calling the Father holy. People have taken that title to themselves. I think they should be ashamed of themselves. Holy Father is only for the one and only High God. So I disagree with them. Jesus spoke this to the Father himself. Keep them through thy own name, those whom thou hast given me. You see that they may be one as we are one. So he wants us as the church, he has left us and empowered us. He said, I'm checking out, but I give them authority from now on to preach the good news to the rest of the world. God doesn't have a plan B. He has only a plan A, and that is that the church will stand when the heavens and earth have passed away. He said, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look unto the rock from which you were hewn, Isaiah said. I build my church on this rock, the one who by faith embraces the promise of God. So the prayer of Jesus reveals the exceptional realities about our greatest privilege, which is to have the right to call God our Father. That's in the prayer of Jesus. And being assured of walking in all his blessings, being adopted into his family, the church, and to be a part of everything he desires for mankind, while knowing that only the church has this authority. and this responsibility. No one else does. The church has the authority and the responsibility to publish the gospel to the ends of the world, to promote the kingdom of God until he declares or decides to wind things up. So that's who you and I are. We're going to give you an invitation at this time. We hope that you trust God. We hope that you want him to be your father. You know, he wants to be your father. He'll be the best father you ever had, because he will never leave you nor forsake you. He came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's what Jesus said. And I came to manifest the love of God on earth so that you might know that he is the only true God and believe in him, and that by believing you might have life through his name. So if you're here today, this is a good day to be saved. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the acceptable time. So do not harden your heart. Let me ask everyone to stand at this moment as we make preparation to see if there's anyone here who desires to be saved. Amen. Let's pray right now. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you for this good word on Father's Day, Father, that you said that you desire to be the father of everyone in the room and everyone under the sound of my voice. So, Lord God, we pray you give them faith right now. You said preach the word, and that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let them have faith to believe the good news that you sent your own son, Jesus Christ, to be brutally crucified, to pay the wages for sin, to receive the wages for sin, which is death, so that he might freely give the gift of God, which is eternal life, to everybody who believes that you raised him out the grave. Father, we bless you today. We praise you today. We magnify you today. Father, we ask you to bless every mind, every heart and soul in the room with the knowledge of salvation, that they might be able to say today that Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Bless everybody in the room, Lord God. Give them the assurance of their salvation. We'll be careful to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. The church said together, amen. Give God a hand praise. Amen. Amen. We want to give you also an opportunity if you need to be a member of the church. Amen. If you'd like to be a part.